This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. My name is Bryce Kuhn alongside Glenn West, and we hope you had a fantastic Christmas. I hope you got everything that you needed. And Glenn and myself are still, if you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate you if you're listening. We're still not in the home base, but that's okay. That's okay. We're making do with where we're going. But Glenn, I hope you had a great Christmas, man. Spend some great time with family and friends.
Yeah, it was a good holiday. Still down here in New Orleans, leave for Tampa tomorrow. So Friday is when we leave for Tampa, and we'll be down there for the next few days and certainly for the bowl game on the 1st and fly back on the 2nd and should be back in Baton Rouge shortly thereafter. So, but it's been fun getting some time here in New Orleans, but certainly can't avoid the news cycle that LSU always seems to provide during the holiday season.
Man, I think it was. I had gotten home from a Christmas party, and we saw the news that Deuce Chestnut entered the portal, and we put that together. And then, obviously, some of the biggest news, Glenn, that we kind of felt like that was, I don't want to say it was going to happen with Chestnut, but it was likely. Like, it makes sense of why Chestnut decides to look elsewhere. But some of the biggest news, Zalance Hurd does not travel to Tampa, the former five-star offensive tackle, a prized recruit in that 2023 cycle, Glenn. Let's just kind of start with, because I think we could get into a lot of the hypotheticals of maybe why Hurd is not traveling. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a lot of people are going to say, oh, no, does this mean he's entering the transfer portal? Just your overall thoughts when this news came across your phone or whenever it did.
Yeah, I mean, so we were texting back and forth with Sonny, who's a little bit under the weather right now, and he had kind of heard about this, a day or so ago, even before the news had broken, and we were trying to get sourced and see if that was in fact the case. And Shea Dixon reported it, very reliable, and we kind of confirmed it ourselves as well. And Zalance Hurd did not travel with the team, and I think it's important to lay some foundation, some groundwork here of kind of the developments of all this. We were at practice last week two times. We got to watch about 45 minutes of practice on both days. Zalance Hurd was out there. He was out there practicing. He was rotating in with the first team. He was getting some first team reps at tackle, working his way around, doing things with the offensive line, seemed pretty engaged. And really that offensive line room has been really highly publicized and talked about the last week or so because of the additions that they've made, whether it was Ethan Cohen Eccles, and kind of adding that sixth offensive lineman into the 2024 class. You've got a really deep well of bodies that you're going to be able to throw out there, next year. But they also have some really great depth, obviously, for this year and with that starting five and that continuity that's been returning. And so, I think it was, that you look at the future of a lot of the positions on the roster, and I would probably put offensive line number one, just in terms of bodies, in terms of talent, and obviously the development capabilities that Brad Davis has shown he's been able to do in his short time here. So, yeah, I think that there was a lot of positive momentum trending for this offensive line. And then this kind of hits you. It kind of comes at you hard. I mean, this is a very big time player. I mean, there's a reason he played in 12 games. There's a reason he started that one game where Emory Jones was down at right tackle. I mean, he is a 5-star future All-American candidate as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. He's got that kind of talent, that kind of potential. And you know, look, for his true freshman season, he was just behind two other guys who were going to be future first, second round picks. I mean, Will Campbell could very well be a top 10 to 15 pick next year, or I should say in 2025. I mean, we're kind of projecting way out here, but yeah, you know, he's a guy that I think you've got first round late on right now, and he's your left tackle. And so, you know, if you're Zalance Hurd and you look at this, and you're like, well, look, I played 12 games. I did a really nice job. And if there's a, you know, a sniff that maybe this could be the role for me again next year, then maybe that's a conversation you have, obviously, with your own people and certainly with coaching staff and with Brian Kelly. And I think that's kind of what they're doing right now. You know, we've obviously he's not entered the portal yet. We'll get into a little bit more of that in a little bit, but at least the trend seems to maybe be leaning that way right now. But there's a number of factors which we'll get into here, but certainly it's something where I think it's salvageable if LSU wants to go that route as well. But you know, we'll get into some of the more of the details of kind of what we know and where this is trending. But I do think that you know, this is significant news. I mean, this is you know, a potential pillar foundational piece for your offense going forward. And you know, there's a real threat possibility that, you know, this could be his last year here. So you've got to do whatever you can to keep retention. And that's something that Brian Kelly has preached really going back to the middle of the regular season. Is a big part of this offseason is always going to be about retaining players. And so if you lose one of your more, you know, crucial foundational young pieces, that's certainly a blow that you're going to have to kind of withstand. But I think if there's one group that can do it, it's the offensive line. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, with the way Brad Davis has recruited so aggressively, you know, over the past 2 years, I believe there's 5 offensive linemen last year, 6 in this class. That's not counting, you know, I know it wasn't a pivotal, you know, role, but adding in Mason Lunsford to the portal. So you really could say 6 and 6, you know, for the past 2 cycles, what you've brought in through the high school and transfer portal. I mean, Glenn, we mentioned retention. I think that we get the feeling too, that this is a staff that understands where they are in the flow of college football with the transfer portal, with NIL demands, with NIL opportunities, with other programs, understanding that if you're going to recruit at such a high level like Brad Davis has at LSU, other schools, agents are going to come calling to the talented guys that may not see that clear path to playing time. And so, you know, kind of painting this hypothetical, you and I have been talking about this all season long. I mean, I remember we sat down in that Nashville hotel room and, you know, sat on the edge of the bed and podcasted about this. You know, if Zalance Hurd was going to play, it felt like the natural move was going to be Emory Jones sliding into guard and Hurd starting at tackle. They experimented with that. I think that it's something just for me personally, and I think you kind of agree with this. They didn't want to tinker too much with what was working within the interior of the veteran guys they had there. So, and it just really didn't, I don't think, go as smooth as they thought it would, that transition. So, look, I mean, you roll into next year, you have Will Campbell, which, you know, we're not going to put words in a kid's mouth here or, you know, get too far ahead of the horse here. I mean, Will Campbell is a prime example of a guy that's going to spend one more year on campus and be a top 15, top 20 draft pick, just with the way that he plays. Jones, maybe he is a guy that comes off the board, you know, next year too. I think this, for me, is the difference between if Hurd is willing to stay and grow one more year. We see this a lot, and I saw this, you know, on our message board and completely agreed with it. Maybe Hurd becomes that guy they slot in at left tackle in 2025. The problem is you're talking about a full year where a kid feels like he's not going to get a real shot to play. And with the talent that he has, with the desperation, the needs of other programs needing high-level talent like that, other schools are going to come calling. And so that's kind of where I sit with this, is this would be a big loss, but I think this is why we have seen Kelly and them be so aggressive in the high school ranks to say, we're going to stock the cupboard. You know, Sonny and I talked about this the other day on our recruiting podcast. Offensive line was a laughing stock, you know, with the depth that you had at LSU in previous seasons. They're stocking the cupboard for potential opportunities like this. I'm not saying the blow of losing him, if it does happen, would just be one you overlook by any means, but you got to prepare for these type of opportunities. That's where I sit with it. And then I'll add this, you know, you mentioned some of the potential factors in this. I'll just say this, you know, for as much as we can, you know, say with this situation, Brian Kelly and Brad Davis, in my opinion, are not going to be have their arm twisted into a situation to guarantee playing time for anyone. That we've seen that, you know, throughout Kelly's tenure at LSU. So that's where I feel like we all kind of feel like it could be coming to a head of where you could see this kid enter the portal if he doesn't hear the things he wants to. You know, a lot of people think the stance of not traveling is a threat, you know, to enter the portal. I mean, that happens all across the country. That's not just specific to Zalance Hurd here. So that's kind of where I feel like the situation is, not trying to mitigate what would be a loss of Hurd if he decides to enter, but that's why they've been stocking this cupboard for the past 2 years. And they can turn and say, okay, like that's why they went and got a guy like Cohen Echols, because now you can develop that guy. You know, now we know why they said here's a green light. Not because they thought Hurd might enter the portal, but because you always have to be wary of situations that could arise like this.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things to tackle here. I think that the big thing for me here, and something that I wrote as a part of the story yesterday, is what could be kind of the factors that are playing into this. Going back to his days as a recruit, he was very, very confident in his ability to be a future left tackle. I mean, he sees that as his position of the future. He thinks that's going to be where he's going to play in college and in the NFL. And you mentioned it there a little bit, but you've got an All-American in Will Campbell who's going to be here for obviously next year, and we'll see kind of what happens with his future. But, yeah, you know, I think everybody expects that he'll be a first-round pick after next year. But so that is, you know, that's an extra year here where you kind of have to, if you're Lance Hurd, be patient. And there are a lot of great examples of guys who are being patient and guys who are waiting their turn and developing along the way. I mean, you look last night, classic example, Miller Moss, quarterback for USC, has been waiting for 2 years, over 2 years behind Caleb Williams, who was in his same, I believe he was in his same recruiting class out of high school.
I think so, yeah.
Transfers in, gets 2 years to start. Miller Moss is kind of buried in the depth chart. What's he do yesterday? He goes out and he throws 6 touchdowns against A&M in a bowl game win. So it looks like he'd be their future at quarterback spot. And Garrett Nussmeier, another example here at LSU. Waited 3 years. He's going to get his opportunity to start. We'll see what he does with it. But, you know, your opportunity comes for those who wait. And I think that's kind of the big over-glaring thing here is how much is Zalance Hurd, you know, willing to wait? How much is he willing to, you know, develop under Brad Davis and continue to build his own game in that way? And if somebody comes at him and throws a big bag at him and is going to promise him the left tackle spot next year, okay. Well, there's nothing really you could do about that if you're LSU. I think the well is pretty it's not dry if you lose Zalance Hurd. And, you know, it's a significant loss. I'm not going to say it's not a significant loss because it certainly is. You don't ever want players who are from Louisiana, who are 5-stars, who seem to have all the talent in the world, because I do think that Zalance Hurd is going to go wherever he goes, and whether it's at LSU or somewhere else next year. And he's going to have an impact on that program. And he's going to play well, and he's going to be a really good player for the future. So I think these are just some of the things that he's kind of weighing in his head right now, which is why maybe he didn't make the trip. You know, we'll see kind of where it leads. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit too much now, but like there's reason to see both sides of this, as, you know, LSU maybe comes back from the bowl game and is able to talk him into staying. And then there's also the very real possibility that this guy could be in the portal and in a uniform next year as well. So just one of those things we're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. But, you know, certainly I think LSU will be okay if they do lose him. And certainly they will welcome him back with open arms if they are, if they do convince him to stay and kind of have a plan mapped out for him going forward.
A situation to monitor. That's the way that you put it on our board. And I think that's something that, we provide an update where we could feel like it might be trending. But look, this stuff can change so quickly. But I do agree with your point there, you know, just about, and it kind of follows what I was saying too, like the staff's arm's not going to be twisted. You're not going to see Will Campbell take a back seat. That kid's an NFL player. You're not going to see Emory Jones maybe take a back seat. I mean, it's just All-American type of play you have at both tackle positions. And it's a product. It's a product of recruiting so well, and that's something fans should be happy about.
Yeah, and look, taking another offseason here to maybe develop Emory as an inside guy, I mean, like, if that is the route that they want to go, and if that is the future mm-hmm. that we kind of see in our heads, I know it was something that I kind of envisioned, was that, you know, once a couple of these starters start, you know, going on to the next level, is maybe sliding Jones in to guard and certainly hard at tackle. Look, 1 year at right tackle and 1 year at left tackle. And I still think that, you know, if you're Lance Hurd coming out of 2025, you're still sitting pretty good about just where you're at as a player and just kind of your future potential there. And if anything, it shows that you're versatile, you know, that you can go in and mm-hmm. you can play a number of different positions at the next level. So, you know, there's a lot of factors here to consider. And I think that that's kind of where we're at right now. And probably too early to pull the trigger one way or the other of where he's thinking, but there's certainly a lot of different factors and possibilities that could come out of this.
Yeah, just painting the full picture. We talk about that. The reason they're going down in Tampa is for that bowl game, Glenn. You know, we have to talk about this a little bit, because this is a matchup that I think provides some intrigue. Yes, Jaden Daniels is not playing. Yes, Braylon Allen, the star running back for Wisconsin, is not going to be playing. But one of the big factors, and, you know, we don't have to dive into a 40-minute episode about this game. I would say, you know, look, a lot of people feel like bowl games are meaningless. I've watched a decent amount of the bowl games. They've been a ton of fun to watch. You mentioned right there USC's quarterback proving his chance. I wrote about it yesterday for the defense. I think overall for LSU, this is a chance for some guys that didn't get an opportunity this year. Obviously, Nussmeier's the biggest example, to prove that they can use this as a launching pad for next year. Glenn, I remember my first day, you know, on the job with you guys, we talked about in that podcast, wow, Malik Nabers had a heck of a game against Purdue. Could that be the launching pad for a big 2023 season? And it was. Look, that's going to be hard to match. But, you know, this game in a whole, you're going to be facing, if you're LSU, a stingy, tough, hard-nosed Wisconsin defense that I think is going to give Garrett Nussmeier some looks. And I always caution people, too, anytime Big Ten, ACC, Big 12 team faces off against an SEC school in a bowl game, you're going to get 110% from them. They want to see that SEC bowl record, under 500. So I think this has the potential to be a good test for LSU with, look, some faces that might not be here next year, i.e. Malik Nabers, i.e. Brian Thomas, all that kind of stuff. But honestly, when we kind of sit here with this conversation, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a fun matchup. I know you're going to be down there. You're going to get the full coverage of it. Your kind of thoughts on what LSU maybe has a chance to prove and things you're going to be watching for in this game.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity, I think, for the future of this program to really see kind of, you know, what some of these guys look like that you got coming up the pike. I mean, obviously starting with Garrett Nussmeier, you know, he's going to be facing one of the better defenses I think LSU has seen this year. I don't know the exact situation of a lot of these Wisconsin players on the defensive side of the ball in terms of opt-outs for the bowl game, but it does sound like Wisconsin has a little bit more of an issue of the opt-outs and all that stuff than LSU maybe does, because as you mentioned, LSU's traveling with pretty much their entire offense. And like, yeah, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to be there, and he's not, you know, going to play, but he's going to be there, and he's going to be, you know, an emotional support for, you know, guys like Neighbors and Thomas and certainly Nussmeier, who's back there playing. But, you know, look, BT is going to play. Malik Neighbors is going to play. Kyron Lacy, Mason Taylor, Logan Diggs, Josh Williams, all your big guns from this year, they're all going to be playing in this game and giving Nussmeier that opportunity to go out there and flourish in his first career start. And, you know, Nussmeier's been able to work with these guys throughout the course of the last couple of years as well. And he's, I'm sure, gotten a lot of reps with them. Now he gets to do it as a starter. And I think probably the biggest thing that I took away from Nuss when we spoke with him last week is that he really has a different approach in terms of mindset on this, because he's allowed to go out there and he's allowed to make mistakes during practice and correct them and rehash them during practice and make sure that you get this route just right. Whereas whereas, you know, kind of as a backup, you know, you go in there and you get extra reps for yourself and for your other guys, but you don't necessarily have that extra time that maybe a Jaden Daniels would have had during the regular season to get stuff right for game planning and whatnot. So that has been the biggest change, I think, for him is being able to go out there and have all those reps to kind of learn and create and certainly add his own flair to this offense. And I'll be very interested to see what it looks like from an offensive perspective. You know, it's going to look a little differently. You know, Derek Aspire on the wheels that Jaden Daniels has, and you know, they're going to rely certainly, I think, on his passing ability downfield. You know, I think you'll see a lot of the little screen routes, the little rub routes they do for their players to kind of get things going. And, you know, you're going to see a lot of motion, pre-snap motion with guys like Malik Neighbors, make sure that they're getting open. And so I think from a passing perspective, it will look very similar. From a running perspective, I would love to see them get the backs more involved. You know, look, in the games that LSU lost this year, like the Alabamas and the Florida States in particular, you were not able to get the running backs involved as much as you probably would have hoped. You know, I'm not saying Wisconsin is Alabama or Florida State. I mean, those are two elite teams that LSU faced this year. But you would like to see them, you know, establish the run game with Logan Diggs, with Josh Williams, with Caleb Jackson, who I wrote about today, and our three players to watch, you know, kind of opinion piece that we do before every game. I think Caleb Jackson's got a really, really great opportunity ahead of him to kind of be you know, more of a focal point of the offense going into next year. You know, we'll see what happens with Diggs and Josh Williams, you know, if those guys return. But on the, you know, on the chance they don't return, I think Caleb Jackson steps in as your number one guy next year, and it's not really particularly close. And so you've got to see what you have in him, see how he's developed throughout the course of the year. And I think he can do some really special things for you this game. And, you know, I've kind of been rambling about the offense for a little bit. Would like to get your thoughts maybe on the defense, and I'll pitch in with some defense stuff as well. But just kind of what are your thoughts maybe on how this defense can look going into this game with most of their guys kind of healthy and playing?
Yeah, you know, I was able to write about this yesterday in the thoughts that Greg Penn put together. You know, I think first off, you know, I asked Greg this, and I think you were next to me on the field in Tuscaloosa. about the communication, and he mentioned it about 7 or 8 times in that post-game interview on the field against Alabama. And it's just been something that's plagued this group all season long. You know, I don't think that you're going to find a magic recipe, whether it's scheme, whether it's personnel. That's going to have to be fixed in 2024. Like, that's going to be something that gets fixed in spring ball. And then, obviously, the spring game, you get to see some live action of that. And then you get into next year. But for these guys, like, I get the feeling, and I'll say this. I mean, look, as a journalist, you can't have a root. You can't root for players necessarily. I genuinely enjoy covering and interviewing Greg Penn. Just the way he handles himself, the responsibility it feels like he's taken upon himself as one of the leaders of that defense, you know, going into next year to make sure they get this right. So what can this bowl game provide? Look, you're facing a veteran quarterback in Tanner Mordecai. Phil Longo, the offensive coordinator at Wisconsin, is a guy who's been known to get creative. You know, he was in North Carolina. This is his first year at Wisconsin. He's coached some really, really good quarterbacks. You know, and Sam Howell, who's in Washington, Drake May, who's probably going to be a top 5 pick this year. You look, and Tanner Mordecai is a veteran quarterback. He's played a lot of ball. Wisconsin's going to have to score points to win this football game. And obviously that's, you know, we know that, but you know, with the way LSU can move the ball, you know that, you know, Wisconsin sees this challenge as a defense that has struggled. They see it as a group that has been susceptible to the pass. Mordecai's a guy that can get the ball out quickly. You know, watching some of his tape this year, he was injured, came back towards the back end of the season. You know, these bowl games are so interesting, Glenn, because you get a full month to prepare. So what are the differences when LSU's not into the week-to-week grind defensively? Does that allow them to get rest for a guy like Mekhi Wingo, which – I still cannot believe he told us he had an abdominal surgery and then just said, yeah, it's cool. It's not that bad. He described it, and I think about 4 or 5 media members were like, yeah, we're not coming back for that for at least 4 or 5 months. Like, that's not happening. So,
yeah, Wilson Alexander, you know, the advocate, looked like he was about to get pretty sick doing that.
Yeah, when Wingo described his injury.
Wilson's face was pretty funny to watch as he was describing that. But, yeah, go on. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, because that's a very good point that needs to be made in the podcast. But, you know, I think, like, when you look at this defense, getting a guy, like, having a guy like Mekhi Wingo say, I want to play, when whether or not he's going to come back next year, could very easily say, you know what, I want to rest my body. I'll go down there and participate in the activities, but I'm not going to put my body on the line. Like, whether or not this kid comes back for another year at LSU, it speaks volumes about how I think these guys want to send out the guys who are not coming back in this 2023 season. There's a bad taste in their mouths. Like, for the fans that get frustrated about this, I'm telling you, there's no one that feels worse than the players about the way the defense has played this year. So, look, I mean, it's going to be a lot of young faces. You're going to have guys like, you know, I'm excited to see what Toviano looks like, you know, in these matchups. I think this is a proving ground and a kind of rubber meets the road for several guys, not Toviano, but who have been in the program and need to figure out what their role is. The biggest one for me, Glenn, is a guy like, you know, Jordan Allen, the back end, has been in the program for 2 years. It's kind of now or never for him to say, okay, do I have a spot here? Can I use this as a launching pad into winter workouts and spring football and really have myself on the radar, not out of necessity, but of, hey, I can be a piece for this defense. You know, we talk about portal additions, you know, Gilbert coming in, but I can be a piece for you that can contribute at a high level. So, you know, I'm excited to watch those battles and watch some guys that we didn't see a lot of in the regular season. How do they prove themselves? Because, look, I don't think that you're going to find genie in a bottle here by any means and have a defense that just gives up 6 points. But I do think that there can be things that can be taken away from a bowl game. I'll say this. I don't think bowl games are meaningless, because I think for a program like LSU that's still trying to build up to being in that next tier, you need games like this for the proving ground for young, unproven players to sit there and say, hey, I can be a piece. So, you know, guys like Jordan Allen at the linebacker position, Greg Penn mentioned a guy, and you wrote about it kind of in your piece, Whit Weeks. It's a guy that we didn't see, you know, over the course of the, you know, really the heart and the meat of the season. Can Weeks, you know, take the jump from, you know, athletic sideline guy to an SEC linebacker that understands the flow and the speed of the game? That's going to be something else to watch. And, you know, I'll be remiss if I don't, you know, talk about the front 7. I'm excited to see a guy like Deshaun Womack that I think is going to be poised for a massive season in 2024. And I think he will have to be if LSU, you know, is going to be at the tops of the SEC, if that's what they are going to accomplish. I think Womack is a guy that could use this game of maybe he has, you know, a sack and two tackles for loss, or a, you know, a big strip sack, or a, you know, fumble recovery. Those type of momentum shifting things, like, it's not only within the game, but for the bowl game, it just carries over. So those are a couple of the things that I think, your thoughts on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I think you bring up some good points. You know, Jordan Allen is certainly one I'll be watching, but you know, the one guy in the secondary that I think is, you know, I don't want to say lost in the shuffle or anything like that, but just one guy that keep a close eye on is Sage Ryan. I mean, this was a guy who started a lot for you at cornerback. He's obviously been a big part of your safety room and nickel for the most part your last couple of years. You know, flirted with entering the portal. LSU talked him back and got him back into the program. It was interesting that, you know, the first team in both days of practice that we saw last year at corner, or last week at corner, was Toviano on one side and Ashton Stamps on the other. And Sage Ryan rotated in with those guys and had a couple first team reps as well. But I think there's going to be much more of a rotation there in this game as they kind of hash out what the future looks like for that secondary. I mean, they're bringing in a litany of guys. They're bringing in a bunch of corners out of the freshman class. Wouldn't be surprised if you see LSU continue to be aggressive in the portal and trying to add a corner, you know, a veteran corner. You've got obviously J.K. Johnson, who's working his way back. That's another guy that I think you could probably throw in. Mm-hmm. Does he get any kind of reps or anything like that over the next week before this game? I don't expect him to play. It looked like he was still doing some, you know, some conditioning stuff off to the side last week in practice. Yeah. So, but JK is certainly one going into spring ball that I'm going to be very interested to see. And then, you know, obviously what that means for the safety room. I mean, the safety depth is a little bit more up in the air in terms of like, okay, is Major Burns going to be back? You're obviously losing Andre Sam, who were two big components to what you had last year at safety. And so I think based off of those decisions, you can decide whether or not Toviano is a better fit at safety, whether Sage Ryan's a better fit back there at safety. You can kind of shuffle some pieces knowing you have some really some cornerback depth coming your way by the freshman class here. So that'll be very interesting to watch how that kind of unfolds. And a lot of these guys will be able to use this game as a springboard into spring ball, like you said. You know, up front, you mentioned Deshaun Womack. I'll throw out another freshman for you. Jackson Howard is another guy who's at that jack spot. He's been playing that jack spot behind Braden Swinson, behind Ovie Igofu, behind Deshaun Womack. That's a pretty deep room. I mean, like, in terms of guys that are playing ahead of him right now. And I'll be very interested to see kind of maybe if he isn't used more as a defensive end going forward. Maybe they get him reps, you know, kind of sitting down and getting his hand in the ground kind of performance. You know, he's 50 pounds maybe. I think he can come off the edge for you on either side of the ball and make an impact. And he's somebody that I think LSU absolutely needs to hold on to for next year, because you're going to have Womack, I think, leading the charge at one of those spots. But on the other side, you know, you've got Savion Jones and you've got Paris Shand and a couple of veterans coming back. But I'd love to see Jackson Howard, you know, kind of wiggle his way into this rotation at some point next year. This could be an opportunity for him to go out there and play well. And, you know, he played the last couple of games of the season to preserve his red shirt. But, you know, he had some flashes there, I thought, against A&M and against I can't remember who they played the last game of the year now. It's been so long. But, you know, Georgia State. So, you know, there's some good opportunities there, I think, for some young guys. And that's really, I think, what this game's going to boil down to is which young guys really pop, which young guys really, you know, outside of the veterans you're going to be getting back next year into the fold, really kind of establish themselves and give themselves some good momentum and confidence going into next year. And I think that those are just a couple names that I'll be looking at, and maybe throw in West Weeks as well. I mean, he's somebody that's been really good on special teams, you know, the last couple of years. He's a thumper. He's a big tackler, just like his brother. And, you know, with you losing Omar Spates next year, you're going to have, you know, Penn and the Weeks brothers pretty much as your main inside linebacker rotation, I think. So that'll be very interesting to see how those kind of guys, you know, develop and how they look in this game.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a fun matchup. Obviously a fun little weekend in Tampa for Glenn. Make sure you stay tuned to Go247 for all the latest content, because we've got a lot of stuff rolling. Remember, the portal's not done yet. LSU, you know, obviously we think would still like to add, you know, some pieces through the portal. We've got bowl game prep. We've got recruiting and the whole nine yards with the staff. We hope Sonny gets better. And Glenn, you walked yourself into this one, so I'm going to let the fans know. You mentioned the name Paris Shand. And for the folks that don't know, at the Shopping with Children event, Paris Shand said that he could work Glenn West in basketball. So if you want to see it happen, hit up Paris Shand on Twitter. Maybe we get a little charity action. Glenn West one-on-one against Paris Shand in basketball. And that'd be a lot of fun. But no, that was a great conversation. Great event, by the way. Out in the community, we got to see Aaron Anderson dressed up as an elf. You know, multiple guys just enjoying the holiday season. We hope you enjoyed it as well. But he's Glenn West. My name is Bryce Kuhn. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Go 24/7 podcast. If we don't catch you before the new year, we hope you have a fantastic new year, and not a better time to ring in the new year than that 60% off holiday deal here at Go 24/7. Get loaded up for 2024. We'd love to have you aboard with us. And I think, Glenn, I was looking at some type of countdown. We're getting super close for baseball season. Do you have that days? Do you have the countdown days yet?
So I don't know when exactly they start practice. That's always my favorite day, is the first day of practice when they open things up for the media. Their first game, I believe, is on February the 16th. They play VMI. Don't know who VMI is. I'll have to do some research on VMI.
The Cadets of Virginia Military Institute. Don't know why I know that.
Okay. I just do. Okay. All right. Good job. Good job, Bryce. I didn't know that one. But yeah, that starts off their season on February 16th. So it's right around the corner.
Awesome. Should be fun. Stay tuned to Go 24/7 for the latest coverage, and we'll catch you next time here on the Go 24/7 podcast.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.